Heather Sharone joins me now. She's the managing editor over at the Daily Line, which you can find on Twitter and Facebook and online and everywhere. She covers everything from Chicago, Cook County, Springfield politics, and joins us Wednesdays here on 720 WGN. Great to talk to you, Heather.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we missed you. Happy Thanksgiving. And we didn't talk last week. We were off, so that's good. All right. So what a week. And what a week for the – let's start with the Chicago police. First of all, did the press corps see this coming? Did they see that the mayor was going to step up and do a press conference and fire Superintendent Johnson on Monday?
No. We only had about half hour, 45 minutes notice that the mayor was even going to have a press conference. So that entailed most of the press corps, scurrying post-haste over to City Hall, because the last time a press conference like this was called, Mayor Rahm Emanuel announced he wasn't seeking a third term, and my life exploded. So everybody was surprised and on edge, and beforehand there was some speculation that perhaps Eddie Johnson would retire early, perhaps he had suffered another health setback, because of course he has had several health scares, and we were sort of all waiting. But I got to tell you, the second the mayor walked into the briefing room, you could tell that she was beyond furious.
Wow. Well, okay, so the story has come out, and the Chicago Sun-Times and Tribune and Daily Line and others have done a good job of piecing together the night of Eddie Johnson before he was found slumped over in his car. The real part of the story, which I think is overshadowed because of all the salacious details, is that he was not administered a sobriety test. He wasn't done anything that you and I would have happened to us, Heather, if we were found in that situation.
Right. And when Mayor Lightfoot first took questions after the revelation that Eddie Johnson had either slumped over or fallen asleep or had somehow become incapacitated by driving a car, I asked her whether she thought it was appropriate that that officers had allowed Eddie Johnson to drive himself home. And she didn't answer, saying that, the inspector general was looking into it and that was all to be determined. But I think that really is the heart of what the investigation focused on, because what we've learned through reporting that was that the superintendent apparently flashed his badge, said, "I'm fine," and just drove on. So the question nobody really knows is whether officers sort of ordered him to stop and whether he ignored that order, or whether he flashed his badge after receiving a law enforcement order, or sort of what the sequence of events were. And then what happened the next day? Was there some sort of cover-up made? Were the reports that were filed by the responding officers accurate? And we don't really know any of the answers to that question.
I would ask, Heather, if you're the mayor, why jump out in front of the inspector general's report? I know that the FOP is asking the same question, but why jump out? Why not let the IG sort of bring this up and bring out a report, and then an hour later they fire the superintendent? Why jump before the public gets any of the information?
And we don't really know the answer to that question, because when we asked the mayor, "What did you learn recently after you held a celebratory press conference with Eddie Johnson and lauded his service to the city? What did you learn since then that made you take this step?" And basically she said that she saw the body cam footage from the officers who responded. She wouldn't say exactly what she saw. So she said that she wouldn't, out of deference to his wife and children. And, it bears repeating that he is married to a Chicago police lieutenant. His son is a Chicago police officer. This is a family that is deeply entwined with the Chicago Police Department and who are current, of course, city employees. This is a very strange situation. But whatever Mayor Lightfoot saw in that video, she said, was enough to make her take, as she said, immediate action. And it did come only 3 weeks or so before Eddie Johnson was supposed to retire with full honors and, sail off into the great pension drawing land, that beckons all city employees once they've reached full retirement age. And it's not clear yet sort of what changed. And I think that the mayor is going to face a lot of pointed questions about whether she will release the full Inspector General's report, whether we will ever see that body cam footage, and perhaps most importantly, was there a cover-up in the Chicago Police Department, and will other officers be disciplined or even terminated?
Well, that's the, and that's really the, today, Kevin Graham, the president of the FLP, is asking the same questions about why the superintendent wasn't given due process, why the Inspector General is being, he kind of went on, you know, Joe Ferguson likes to see what he sees and all that kind of strange talk. But the point being, asking the same kind of questions about why she jumped out in front of this and whether or not there's going to be accountability or at least transparency when it comes to this investigation.
Yeah, it's a big question. And I think that this will hang over whoever is selected to replace him on a permanent basis. Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck is in place now. But he has said that he doesn't want the job permanently. And, it, you know, one would think that this would attempted to be resolved before that new person, whoever he or she is, comes in. But there's no law that requires the release of an Inspector General's report or this body cam footage until the investigation is completely over. And even then, we may not get sort of all of the information you or I may want, no matter how many times we hit them with the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
So it will be, you know, it's yet to be seen sort of what we will actually learn. You know, for all of these incidents, and it is a sort of a horrible coincidence in some ways that Eddie Johnson became superintendent because of the video of Laquan McDonald's murder, and now he's pretty much lost that position because of another videotape. And again, I think the fundamental issues in both incidents, although of course the death of Laquan McDonald was far more serious than this, is there a culture in the police department where they're covering for each other, that code of silence, that blue line, and what can the city do to reform a department that refuses to sort of tell the truth when stuff like this happens?
Okay, so Pete and I had this question, and this is one that I haven't necessarily seen the answer to. Some people on text believe they know why, but, I mean, they fired him, right? The superintendent is no longer on the payroll. Today he's officially out. What else is there to do? I mean, is there criminal charges? Is there concern about his pension or what he gets paid? Or is it just, you know, he lost his job?
Yeah, for him to lose his pension, he would have to be convicted of a criminal offense committed in the line of duty. So I've been asked this question a dozen times over the last couple of days, and I always remind people about John Birch, who was the police commander who literally tortured hundreds of African-American men over decades, and he did not lose his pension. So taking somebody's pension is really, really difficult. I don't think Eddie Johnson is in danger of that. It remains to be seen whether there could be criminal charges filed against him. I tend to think we're several steps behind that, having enough information for that. But he does. He lost his job, and he's out. He's off the payroll, we learned, as about a couple hours ago.
All right, so let's talk about Charlie Beck. This is the interim who came in from the West Coast, and he was on the job yesterday. He's already making moves, cleaning up a couple of cases that Superintendent Johnson was kind of stalling on. Where do we stand? I mean, what kind of superintendent is he, and what do we know about this guy?
Well, he presided over the LAPD at a time that is not dissimilar of what Chicago is facing now. He oversaw the implementation of a consent decree designed to reform the department after horrendous, horrific scandals, and that's pretty much where Chicago is. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot, that she brought him in because of his expertise in dealing with the department undergoing reform. Mm-hmm. This week, we learned that he demoted a commander of the 25th Police District out on the northwest side because the Inspector General had found that commander ordered his officers to babysit his son after school. The Inspector General had recommended that Commander Anthony Escamilla be fired, but Eddie Johnson did not take that step. So Charlie Beck took that step this week, and we learned just a couple hours ago that he had stripped a second police officer of his police powers, who was involved with the body slam, yeah. I guess you would call it, of the man who had either spit or otherwise assaulted the officers and refused an order to stop drinking in public. And that is currently under investigation as well. And it will be, I would imagine, several months before we have any sort of outcome as to, you know, what will actually happen to those officers.
Heather Sharon is the managing editor over at the Daily Line. She joins us on Wednesdays. Let's take a break. When we come back, we can talk about what happened today in City Council when it comes to ethics reform, when it comes to legalized weed. But also, this, I would like to stay on police just with Kevin Graham and the FOP saying they want to go to an arbiter over the contract. We've talked about this on this program with you, Heather, so we'll talk about what that actually means for the city of Chicago and for the city and the police relationship, which has been pretty testy under Mayor Lightfoot. So we'll talk about that. Heather Sharon with us here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman with you. Heather Sharon on the line with us. She's the managing editor of the Daily Line. She joins us every Wednesday, and I'm glad she does. It's a lot to talk about, and one of the best in the business talking about it. So, Heather, let's get to Kevin Graham and the FOP. I mentioned about how he had a press conference today and talked a little bit about what he thought of what happened with Superintendent Johnson, but also talked about how he wants to end the Cold War. He feels like Mayor Lightfoot's put us in a Cold War when it comes to the police contract. There's no police contract right now. They're just kind of going without one, right?
Right, and they have been without one for 2.5 years.
Wow.
And the difference between them and the teachers is, of course, that by law they're not allowed to strike where the teachers can. And he said today that will ask an arbitrator to award them an 18% pay increase, the rank and file officers, for the 3 years, so this year and then 2 years back. And that, of course, is in comparison to the teachers who got a 16% raise. And that is going to cost the city a pretty penny if the arbitrator approves it. Part of the reason why there hasn't been a contract for 2.5 years is because so much of the contract involves police misconduct, which of course plays into what we were just talking about before the break in terms of how officers can be investigated and held accountable and disciplined. So there are a lot of issues going on, but he's not wrong that things have been tense between him, his organization, and the mayor, who, of course, referred to his first vice president as a clown when he stepped to the microphone.
Hot mic.
At a recent city council meeting.
My favorite, just to refresh Chicagoans' memory on that one, was when the mayor was asked about that, she said she was sorry that he heard it.
Sorry that it got caught.
Which I was like, all right, this is going to be a fun couple of years. All right,
yes.
So Mayor, but what does Mayor Lightfoot say to that? Because it seems like, that's what police are probably going to get when it comes to if teachers got 16%, then you're thinking somewhere in the same range. So what is the mayor's office trying? Like, why not just give them that? Why go to arbitration?
Well, it's not unusual for contract negotiations to go to arbitration. The teacher's contract also went to arbitration. It was an independent fact finder who found, hey, they should get a 16% raise. So it's not an unheard of step. But Kevin Graham has to stand for re-election in 4 months in front of his members. And he doesn't have a new contract. He doesn't really have a whole lot to show for it. And this definitely sort of, has a lot to do with the internal pressures he's facing, but also the fact that eventually the police are going to have to get a new contract. And the issue is that the city is going to be on the hook for retroactive pay raises that is going to take a big bite out of that 2021 budget. And I know we just put the 2020 budget to bed, but the 2021 budget is going to be no easier. And my eye is twitching just thinking about covering all of that.
All right, let's talk about some of the other issues that are happening in Chicago. It's been a big day in Chicago politics. The Black Caucus in City Council wanted to move forward and didn't get much traction, but they want to move forward in pushing back the date for legalizing marijuana. Obviously, it's going to be January 1st. They want to push back to July, whatever it might be. Obviously, it's a statewide thing, so this would just be for the Chicago. But why do they want to do that, and why is it not taken seriously?
Well, the Black Caucus is upset that the state law awards the first wave of licenses to sell marijuana legally to the companies that are now selling medical marijuana. So if you've got a medical card, you're going to be able to buy recreational marijuana at the same place. Now, those firms, by and large, all of the ones operating in Chicago, in fact, are owned by white men. And this law was designed by Governor J.B. Pritzker and the supporters in the state legislature to allow the people who had been impacted by the war on drugs to benefit from marijuana legalization. However, that aspect of the law really doesn't kick in until the spring. So starting next week, people who have been impacted by the war on drugs, so they've been arrested or they've spent time in jail or their family members have, they can apply as a social equity applicant for these licenses and go through the process of setting up shops starting in May. The Black Caucus says that's not good enough, that these 11 white-owned companies are going to get a head start right. on the other, all of these others, other firms, and so everybody should just wait until the whole thing is in place and then they can move forward. However, the mayor does not support that delay, and essentially says it, you know, it would put Chicago behind, you know, the starting line, and it would potentially make it so that Chicago doesn't benefit financially from the sale of cannabis, because perhaps you would go to a dispensary in Evanston or Skokie or Oak Park, yeah. and you would keep going there, and you wouldn't really look for somewhere locally, well, and so that would end up...
What was the line, too? The line I read from Lauren Huffman and the mayor's spokesperson was like, this will inspire or... it'll inspire, I guess was the word, black market activity.
Right.
If we don't do that. I was like, what world are you living in? How do you think people will get marijuana right now? That
right.
idea that if you moved it back 6 months, oh, the whole world would collapse. But
yeah.
there's something to be said about, you know, there's been so much made from Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot about equity. That's been the
right.
word. But when these issues of equity get brought up, and whether it be by the Black Caucus or by anybody else, they're almost the first ones to shoot it down and say, no, we're all good. So that's I kind of understand where they're coming from, saying if these medical marijuana dispensaries are getting a head start, that's not equitable.
Yeah. The mayor also says that these complaints are really too late, because this was the yeah. way that the legislation was designed to begin with starting last year, and they didn't voice these concerns then, so this is just how the legislation, you know, ended up being. So now the horse has left the barn, you know, the whatever metaphor you want to use,
right.
and it's really too late to stop that. But it is a source of frustration, because, you know, last month we saw all of the firms sort of come to City Hall for a lottery to figure out where they could locate these new dispensaries, and all of them were white. And that was, you know, a really awkward situation for a lot of city officials who have been saying, I know you might have concerns about marijuana, but we're doing it in the right way, and it's going to benefit the people that has been hurt. And now it's like, well, that's going to happen, but in 6 months. And, you know, that's a little bit tough for some aldermen to swallow.
Well, I want to talk about ethics reform, but we're out of time. That's always the way it works, right? That's always
yes.
the way it works. Let's talk about ethics. This is really important, but you know what? Not today.
Not today.
We'll pick
too
it up next
week.
Yeah, too much going on. We'll pick it up next week. Heather Sharone, who is the managing editor at The Daily Line. You can find thedailyline.net, on the internet, and their newsletter, which you sign up for and gives all the great stuff first thing in the morning. Heather, thanks for talking. See you next week.
See you next week.